We said last week that birds, aside from the fact that the Torah does not mention simonim for birds, it just tells us which birds are non-kosher, and if you recognize all those birds and all the related families of those birds, then all other birds are kosher. Only the ones the Torah mentions are not kosher, and their families. Since we're not familiar with all of these birds and their families, so the rabbis gave us simonim, that you know that these birds have these simonim. All of them do not come from these things. Some of them you could have, Marachulin says, you don't have to have all of them, as long as you recognize one kind of bird that has three of them, but not the fourth. You know it's not that bird that, or that family, then you know it's a kosher bird. But for all practical purposes, if you know all four simonim, none of the birds that the Torah says are not kosher have all four simonim. Okay, what are the simonim? They have a zefek, which we forgot to mention last week. A zefek is a crop. It's a kind of stomach, a rudimentary stomach. It's a separate stomach that things go into before it goes into the regular stomach, a bird. That's a zefek. It's kurkivano niklaf, the pupik, the kurkivan, is, I don't know what it's called in English, but it's the, it has a lining on the inside that you can peel off. It has an inner lining that can be peeled. That's the kurkivan. Those are the things they put in soup or whatever, but the chicken, it's called a pupik. And then it has a edzba yisera. It has an extra toe, which means it usually has three toes here and then one in the back, which is totally separated from the others. And it's not dores. It's not a predatory bird. It does not eat other living things. Doesn't grab them and eat them. Theoretically, if you would know on any bird all four simonim, for sure, it would be okay. However, since you may not see this bird be a predator, have all the other simonim, but it's a predator, it's straight. And you didn't notice it. It wasn't hungry that day, right? Didn't have a chance to eat a lizard or whatever. And then, unbeknownst to you, that bird does grab lizards or whatever, then it's straight. Doesn't have the main simon. It's a predatory bird. So therefore, it's been accepted that birds, at least, have to have a mesora. Birds have to have a mesora. That's what the Ramah says. For Ashkenazim, for sure, a bird can't be eaten without a mesora. Now, that's very good for birds that existed in places over the years, and there was a mesora that bird was known to be kosher and was eaten in what's it called, throughout history. But there are birds that didn't exist throughout history in places where Jews were. Birds that were indigenous to either South America or North America, like the turkey. And there couldn't have been a mesora about turkeys because there were no turkeys. Turkeys were introduced to Europe, to the Old World, from the New World, and relatively in recent history. So there were people in the beginning who didn't eat turkeys because they didn't have a mesora. However, some say that the turkey pretty much universally is eaten. Okay, Israel is the most biggest consumption of turkey in the world. Right, is in Eretz Israel. Right, America is second, and it lags way behind how much turkey is eaten in America compared to what's eaten here. So, and all the Mahadran Hashgachas give Hashgacha to turkey. There were individuals who did not eat turkey. Yaakov Kamenetsky did not eat turkey. It's a chumra, right? Didn't demand it of his family or other people, but himself as a personal chumra, because the turkey didn't have a mesora. So why do we eat turkey? We eat turkey because either it's so similar to a chicken, right, to fowl that has a mesora, that the differences are insignificant, which is a little difficult to understand, because if you look at a turkey and look at a regular chicken, they're very different. Others say that You can't say there was a masorah on turkey. That can't be.
I think the original wild turkey is more like a pheasant, and the pheasants were certainly always kosher.
Yeah, okay, could be. There's another siman, and that is, according to many opinions, that if the bird that has the simanim, doesn't have a masorah, breeds together with kosher birds, then that's a siman that's a kosher bird. Because Gemara says that kosher birds and non-kosher birds don't breed together. Now, not everybody holds that applies to birds. It's by animals it says it. Whether it applies to birds or not is a shaila. Most poskim hold it does apply to birds. Some poskim say it doesn't apply to birds stam, but if it crossbreeds with other kosher birds and it's fertile, then that's a similar point to everybody. So turkey can crossbreed with chickens. In any case, for whatever reason it is, the turkey was pretty much universally accepted as kosher. There are other birds. There's one that just came up recently. Again, it was a bird that was pretty much indigenous to America, the United States. It's called the Muscovy duck. It's not in Moscow, or it has to do with, I don't know why it's called that, but in any case, whatever the reason is, it looks different than regular ducks. And originally, the Rabbonim in New Orleans in the 1800s said that it's not kosher. There was no Masorah on it, or whatever, and it's not a kosher bird. There was a lot of controversy. Some hold it is okay, some hold it's not okay. Recently, I think that, what's it called, that in Eretz Yisrael, I think that they do use that, most of the poskim hold that duck is okay, and other places there's machlokas with it, and there was just now a whole to-do in America where certain hashgachas, mahadran hashgachas, were giving hashgacha to this, and some people challenged it that it's not a kosher bird, and the whole machlokas again was revived. But in any case, birds need masorah, and why some birds that seemingly could not have had a masorah are kosher is either because they're very similar to birds that did have a masorah, or because they crossbreed, or possibly other reasons. Fish, the Torah says what the simanim of fish are. Fish basically have to have scales, because any fish that has scales has fins. As they have fins and scales, and the fins are really irrelevant because there is no fish with scales that doesn't have fins. And the scales have to be, according to many Rishonim, things that can be taken off the skin of the fish. The halacha is that the fish don't have to have the scales when they come out of the water. As long as they had scales at some point in their life, they're kosher. Even if they lost all the scales before they were caught. There are certain fish that they don't maintain their scales when they're taken out of the water. Right? So, but they, when they were, what's it called, young, they had scales, they're kosher, and they remain kosher even if they don't have any scales at all. The scales, though, according to many Rishonim, have to be able to be taken off the skin. They can't be part and parcel of the skin, that in order to take off the scale, you have to tear away the skin. Right? A kaskeses, according to the Ramban, is something that's like an armor. It's not part of the skin, it's an addition to the skin. And the way you know that is, can you take it off without tearing the skin? There are fish that have scales, but they're not the kind of scales that I just described. And according to most poskim, those fish are not kosher. One of them is a sturgeon. Sturgeon is a non-kosher fish, even though sturgeon is used for what's it called for swordfish. Another example of that. They're used for sturgeon is used a lot for caviar. And according to most poskim, a sturgeon is not kosher, and the caviar taken from it is not kosher. The conservative movement in America paskin that it's kosher. I know they paskin for because most of the people eat lobster anyway, so what's enough gemina? But in any case, they paskin that the swordfish and the sturgeon are kosher. It was 20, 30 years ago a big issue. But most poskim hold that both of those fish are not kosher, and even though they have scales, they're not the scales the Torah was talking about. Now, if you get a fish that does that you don't see the scales, a filleted fish, skinned, you can't buy it from somebody who's not reliable. Can't believe them that it was a kosher fish. You can't tell if. But if the fish comes with skin, with even some scales on it, or you can see where the scales were, right, and a little bit of the skin is on, you can assume that the rest of it was okay, and you can buy it even for somebody who's not reliable. So to buy fresh fish, if you see the skin on the fish, where the scales were, or the scales are still there, even a small amount, you can buy it anywhere, fresh fish. But if it's not, then you have to buy it with a hechsher. It comes completely skinless or whatever. That's we're talking now where it's not what's it called, processed. Processing is a different story. But unprocessed, for raw fish, you can only buy if what's it called, if you see some of the skin and some of the scales. So the skin and where the scales were. If not, then it has to be bought from a reliable person and or have a hechsher or whatever that's somebody's testifying that they know this is what's contained in this package.
Do we worry about the knife that they use to cut it up? That's the question.
Mastamina, as long as when you get it home, you wash off the fish anyway.
And like the inside, you take it out to...
Yeah, that's all cold, and it's you just have to wash it off.
Okay.